10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needs something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome back in. Hour number 3 of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porter with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, talking all things NFL draft. The Titans making their selection last night in the first round. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, Teron Davenport, presented by Freedom Tire Guys. Teron also a part of the great draft night in Nashville coverage last night on ESPN 102.5 The Game as well. TD, what's going on, my man? How we doing?
Hey, what's going on, man? All is well. It was a fun night last night. You got to see the present get unwrapped, and I'm looking forward to seeing how this team brings them along, man. It's just an exciting time.
It is an exciting time, and it's been interesting to kind of gauge the reaction of Titans fans this morning on the show. Some people absolutely love this pick. They think it's a steal at number 22 for the Titans. Some people hate it. Very concerned about the back injuries that Caleb Farley has had in the past. When you look at Caleb Farley and factor in the complete picture, what do you think of this pick for the Titans at number 22?
Well, I think this pick is an example of how much the Titans trust their doctors and the doctors who were able to get their hands on Caleb Farley. And I asked him specifically about the injury and the recovery, and he told me that he had an L5, L4, and S1 surgery. And these are all pretty critical parts of the injury, just because, you know, there's a chance that nerve could have been bothered. And Chris Sanders has talked extensively about it, and if that nerve was bothered excessively, he may lose some of the twitchiness, and as a cornerback you really need to have that. But you know, this is an example of just a high risk, high reward, and that's what I wrote about on my analysis on ESPN.com, because look, man, if this thing hits, it's really going to hit, because when healthy, he is a top three corner in this draft, maybe even one of the best. I mean, I feel J.C. Horn is, but, you know, let's face the facts. This dude is a really good player when he's ready to go.
How surprised, if at all, were you by this, TD? Because Newsom's sitting there, and Elijah Moore's sitting there, and Aziz Ojulari, who, you know, obviously there must be something going on with him. But when you found out this was going down, the first thing that crossed your mind?
Interesting. When I found out before the pick was made, that's what I put on Twitter. I said, interesting, very interesting.
Yes.
I was definitely surprised, because I really thought that Greg Newsom was going to be the pick, honestly. And I made the projection, you know, on the NFL Nation mock draft of Elijah Moore. But in that scenario, Ojulari and Newsom were gone. And for them to make this pick, like I said, it showed a lot of guts. It surprised me, because I thought they would go with something that was viewed as a bit more of a sure thing in Newsom, as far as like his floor being so high. But evidently, they believe that this guy is going to be back, that Caleb Farley is going to be back and ready to go come training camp. And I think that's the main thing why they did it.
Teron Davenport on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by Freedom Tire Guys. TD, obviously, I mean, things happen in the draft every year that are surprising, and some moves are made that you don't expect in the draft. How surprised were you that both Aziz Ojulari and Elijah Moore were not selected in the first round?
I was shocked. I really was shocked by that. And, you know, if you would have told me that Ojulari and Elijah Moore would be on the board when Thursday was over and Alex Leatherwood would have been picked, I would have said, you're nuts. But, I mean, Mike Mayock, I mean, this is 3 years in a row. He's shown that, hey, you know what? my board is my board. I don't care what anybody else thinks, you know, because you look at Cleveland Farrell, you look at the DB, Damon Arnett last year, and now Alex Leatherwood. I mean, they make some interesting picks.
Yeah, they are. I mean, look, the mock drafts, they're always, there's always quite a bit of, you know, margin for error there, but the Raiders especially, like they're just totally off the board. So, TD, you've got Ojulari sitting there. You got Elijah Moore. Christian Barmore as another guy. I think we all thought, you know, he'd be gone. The Titans now have addressed cornerback. We know the other needs. Do you see a scenario today where they might be tempted to move up to grab someone, one of the Moores, Joseph Asai? Maybe Ojulari keeps falling. I mean, do you think that that's possible? Do you think that would be advisable?
I don't think they should move up to get Asai, but Ojulari, Elijah Moore, if those guys are within maybe 5 to 6 picks, yeah, I could see them doing that. I think they're going to be gone. I think really you got to weigh out, okay, how much of a difference is there between the Moores, Elijah and Rondell, right? And I fully, firmly believe that Rondell Moore will be there for him, you know, and then you got to look, okay, well, how much is the difference between the Moores and Amari Rodgers or Nico Collins, you know? So it's going to be really interesting just seeing this thing play out. And the board actually, it went perfectly for the Titans, to be honest with you. And now you got Ojulari there possibly at the top. But I think he is going to be one of the early guys to go. And that still pushes another option for you down. So in my opinion, they should stay put unless they're within 5 or 6 picks.
TD, we talked about Leatherwood going to the Raiders. Outside of that, what surprised you the most about the way things kind of shook out there in the first round around the league?
Well, it's interesting that Tevin Jenkins is still there on the board. Let me see. What surprised me? The Cowboys and Eagles doing a deal. I did predict that the Eagles were going to move up. And I thought that it was going to be to the Broncos, but I did feel that they were going to move up to get Devontae Smith. But, you know, those guys doing a deal together. I'll tell you one that shocked me. The Ravens taking Jason Owe over Azeez Ojulari. Yeah. And Ojulari has so many similarities to Yannick Ngakoue. And I know that, you know, John Harbaugh and that crew, they fell in love with Ngakoue, but they just couldn't make it happen money-wise and you know, that's why he was gone. That's one that surprised me. I'm trying to look here. Those were pretty much the main surprises. Justin Fields, I think, going to the Bears, that's awesome. I love that. I love that. And I am going to watch a lot of Bears games. I'm looking forward to seeing that. It didn't surprise me, though. The Packers going with Eric Stokes over Greg Newsom, that was another, just going with Eric Stokes, because Newsom had already been off the board. I thought maybe they would get a receiver like Marshall or somebody, so that one did surprise me.
Well, you wouldn't want to help Aaron Rodgers out or make him happy anyway. I mean, everything's fine. Everything's fine with that relationship. Yeah, TD, like, so does this mean that, like, the Eagles and Cowboys just hate the Giants so much that they're willing to be friends to screw over the Giants? I mean, that's kind of how I read it, right? I thought maybe the Giants were going to take Devontae.
Yeah, they probably would have taken Devontae. They ended up getting Kadarius Toney with a move down. But, it, you know, the thing that I think that came down to is the Cowboys wanted Micah Parsons. That's a pick that I predicted. And they knew that he would be there for them when if they moved down, and they got another, I think it was two third round picks. I think they got in that deal, which is, that's nothing to shake your head at, you know? So they could come back and they could get a corner. They could do some things, you know, at the top of that. I could see them getting Asante Samuel Jr. In fact, in today.
TD, last thing for you here. As you look at the rest of this draft for the Titans, and specifically right now you're picking it at 53, at 85, and at 100 left, three picks left in the top 100 here. How big of a priority should it be for the Titans to find a tight end during that time? And we know the needs of wide receiver and edge rusher are still there, still very prevalent with this team. How big of a priority should tight end be in your mind?
Yeah, I think it should be pretty big because you don't want to get into situations where you're predictable. And I think, you know, when you're looking at Pat Freiermuth, when you're looking at Hunter Long, you're looking at Brevin Jordan, Tommy Tremble, those are all guys that are likely to go off the board today. So I think that is something that you have to consider. I mean, I do have some sleepers, you know, like Quentin Morris out of Bowling Green. But, I mean, let's face it, these guys that I mentioned before are more proven players than Morris is. So it is going to be important to get a tight end today just because of the fact, like I say, you don't want to get into a situation where teams see, okay, 86 on the field, they're going to pass the football. 87 is on the field. I'm thinking they're going to run. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to get into that situation. So they could fix that by getting a guy like those four that I mentioned that pretty much could do all of it.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, Teron Davenport, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by Freedom Tire Guys. TD, great stuff as always, man. Enjoyed your coverage last night on the draft as well, and going to be very fascinating to see what the Titans do here in day two of the draft today.
Yeah, for sure. Let me send an invitation to everybody listening. Come on out to Boombas in East Nashville this evening to enjoy more of the draft with us. Chris Sanders, myself, Jarrett Stillman, and Mark Howard. We aim to please, so come on through.
Absolutely. You can check them out tonight at Boombas Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. The second round underway tonight. The Titans on the clock at the moment at 53. TD, great stuff, man. We'll talk to you next week.
For sure. Take care.
Absolutely. So Teron Davenport, one of the best in the business. Enjoy him. He joins us every Friday here at 8 o'clock here on the show. And as he mentioned, Nashville's best NFL draft coverage tonight on 102.5 The Game, presented by Founders Brewing, Apple Collision Centers, FreedomTireGuys.com, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, and MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. Be sure to join us on site as 102.5 The Game will be broadcasting live beginning at 6 p.m. tonight from Boombas Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. We'll be right back, react to what TD had to say there, and look ahead to round two coming up tonight for the Titans. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join 102.5 The Game today from 11 to noon at the T-Mobile in Madison at 2109 Gallatin Pike. There will be a free lunch from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and you can register to win tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Also, the Nashville SC and T-Mobile merch trucks will be on site. Brought to you by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Nashville SC. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. By the way, make sure you're tuning in at 8:45. We'll have a chance for you to win a pair of tickets to see the Predators take on the Dallas Stars tomorrow. A massive game coming up for the Predators against the Stars. We'll have that opportunity for you at 8:45. Terry Crisp joining us at 8:30 to look ahead at that game for the Predators. So lots to get to on that front coming up here in just a few minutes later this hour here on the show. Joe Rex Road, the Titans select Caleb Farley at number 22 with the pick last night, and it was interesting. They got into a situation where Azeez Ojulari still on the board, Elijah Moore on the board, Greg Newsome on the board, all these different names that we've spent weeks talking about, they were there, and they were available for the Titans at number 22. They decide to go with Caleb Farley. When you heard that Caleb Farley was going to be the pick, and that's the route that the Titans were going to go, what was your reaction? And now that you've had time to think about it and to talk to Caleb Farley and John Robinson since then, what do you think of this pick at number 22 by the Titans?
It wasn't shocking. I mean, I thought at that point, like I tweeted right before the pick, I'd take Ojulari right here. I'd go Ojulari. I thought that kind of all along, like if you can get even better up front in a draft with so many good cornerbacks, do it. But I do. So in the immediate, I was like, man, they didn't take Ojulari. You know, Newsome versus Farley, I think you're safer with Newsome. I think you've got a higher ceiling with Farley. That's the evaluation, right? And by the way, you know, Newsome has missed multiple games every one of his college seasons, all three of his college seasons. He missed multiple games. So it's not like he is a total A-plus on durability, but obviously it's a huge difference between that. you know, groin injuries and nagging stuff and what Caleb Farley comes in with. By the way, Caleb Farley also tore his ACL early in his career. And as we told you, as we scooped for you the other day on the show, the sciatica is something that, you know, he's had to deal with.
Really going to have to monitor those sciatica symptoms as we move forward here and pay a lot of attention to it.
Exactly. It's a very serious condition. But seriously, when you get to the end of the first round, I do already look back a little bit differently because of Ojulari's plummet in tandem with Peter King's report. I say, well, clearly there's something there because this guy has the profile of a first-round pick and maybe the first edge taken, depending on how willing teams were to gamble on Jalen Phillips, and we found one who did. But so already I look a little differently at that, but certainly to me, Newsom was a safer pick. You know, and this is – I do to a certain extent, I think the reaction here is, look, man, they have way more information than we have and way more information that we won't get.
Sure.
So it's wait and see. I get it. I don't hate it. I think it could work out really well for them. I do think it's even more of a gamble for John Robinson coming off last year. Like you would think, I think some GMs would be deterred from gambling to this extent after what just happened. And in a year that still does not provide full evaluation. Well, J-Rob doesn't care, man.
He's not afraid.
He's like, let's go. So I think on the one hand, look, again, this is where if you're a Titans fan, I think your outlook is going to dictate your reaction. I'm seeing a lot of, I love it. I mean, my comments on my column about this are all like, this is great, high ceiling, love it. And I'm seeing, and there's people that are just like, what a disaster, hot seat, you know?
Yeah.
The whole range is in play here with this pick.
Do you feel like the fact that J-Rob seems to have gotten the Jeffrey Simmons pick right a couple years ago when that was a gamble too? Do you feel like that should give Titans fans more confidence? Or do you think he's kind of playing with fire with going with another roll of the dice on a talented player, but obviously has a lot of injury issues?
I think you get confidence from it. Now, I will say, like, a lot of this is just, it's luck of the draw, too. Like, you know, you go back to this time a year ago, I'm sure John Robinson felt pretty good about his Isaiah Wilson and what was going to transpire there. Now, it's different. It's not health-related there. But you never really know how this is going to shake out. Like, I don't think just because it worked out well with Jeffrey Simmons that just means that, okay, you just trust John Robinson that it's going to work out here with Caleb Farley, too. Now, we've got a couple people on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Alicia from Franklin texting in, I'm a physical therapist who treats patients immediately after back surgery. This procedure is a minor back surgery with very effective results. The injury timetable is 3 months to return to sport. I'm not worried. We just had somebody else say, working in the orthopedic field, this surgery isn't as serious as it used to be when Chris played. So talking about Chris Sanders there, they can go through two small ports to fix the disc, so it's minimally invasive. So there are people on the text line in the medical field saying this surgery really not all that big of a deal. I have no clue.
That's it. Right, and that's interesting, and that's valuable, and we appreciate that input. As they would also, I would assume, follow up with, like, until you specifically deal with the patient in question, there's still a range, right? There's still a range of outcomes here. I think we all agree with that. I think TD brought up a good point too last segment, you know, on the twitchiness. I mean, that is, you know, if you have any sort of nerve thing at all in that back because of this, because really what this is the, you know, the spine hitting the nerve, right? Then that can affect that, and that's a big part of why you're so valued as a player. You know, Porth, your question, that's exactly what I wrote today. Like, this actually makes you think of Jeffrey Simmons, but also it makes you think of last year. I mean, the Titans' best draft by far to me was 2019. It wasn't just Simmons falling to them, but also the rest of the draft. I mean, they loaded up.
Yeah.
It was a great draft. The last time they had a full evaluation year, and that when the draft was here in Nashville, they combined with the best draft ever and probably the best draft that'll ever be until it comes back to Nashville with their own best draft under Robinson. And then last year they had the worst draft by far under Robinson. And I think that'll always stay the worst draft, even if Fulton and Darrington Evans end up being good. I mean, it's, you know, if a first round pick is a complete zero, it's hard to come back for that. So I think of both of those things with this pick. It certainly could. Yeah, you hope if you're the Titans, it works out more like 19. But you do worry about 20. And the fact that this is right after 20, I think, just amplifies what a gamble it is.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jonathan from Spring Hill texting in. Was Farley surprised when he was picked in the first round because there was no one with him? Well, he did test positive for COVID. Now, there were reports yesterday that that was a false positive, but my guess would be that would be why he was by himself.
He tested positive for COVID. He said yesterday that he went to the hospital, tested negative, so he's hoping it was a false positive. But when he was talking to us last night, he was actually in a car, like someone was driving him.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. It was an interesting presser, but he said he was leaving a relative's house. So
let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Philip texted in. You can like the player but hate the pick. This is a trash defense that has no time to be patient with a player in injuries, especially when they're only a couple of picks away from being a real contender for the Super Bowl. So Philip throwing the idea out there that you can think Caleb Farley is a good player, but also hate the pick because you don't have time to wait on Caleb Farley to get healthy.
That was exactly Chris Sanders' reaction.
Yeah.
See, I will say that one thing that I think is coming out more and more from people who have an idea about medical stuff, it sounds like the short term here is probably going to be what people want. I mean, he was confident in his last night. The Titans were pretty non, you know, Robinson and Vrabel. Vrabel on injury questions. This is going to be just so
funny. He was illuminating last night. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But even Robinson was just like, eh, I mean, at one point, I think he said no comment on something. I mean, they didn't say much, but Farley was pretty darn, pretty darn convinced that he's going to be ready to go. I think it seems likely that, you know, he's going to be able to go and play this year. I think this is from what I'm reading more and more on this, you know, it's does this reduce his career? Does it come back at some point? You certainly have to worry about that, right? I mean, you talk about two surgeries in the same area at that age. You certainly have to wonder about, does this affect the back end of the career? But I think at this point, based on all the information and just based on the conversation last night, it would be quite a disappointment if he's not able to participate at least to some extent in camp and be active for the opener.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris texts in, I think y'all forgot we all became online medical experts as a result of the pandemic. So now everybody's got their opinions validated with Caleb Farley moving forward. That's a good point by Chris. When we come back, we will get into the Nashville Predators, a massive game coming up for the Preds tomorrow against the Dallas Stars. Terry Crisp, Predators TV analyst, will join us coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porter with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. The Nashville Predators with a massive game coming up tomorrow against the Dallas Stars. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend, Predators TV analyst, Terry Crisp. Crispy, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. It's a beautiful day out there today to get out in the boat and do what you want. And I'm having my coffee, and I just enjoyed all of you guys bickering and arguing and yelling about it. If we had the passion on the ice that you guys have arguing about the NFL draft, man, we wouldn't lose a game.
You're exactly right, Crispy. We're bringing the passion, as you advise us to do.
You're bringing the passion
all the time. That's what we do here on this program. So, Crispy, the Predators getting some help last night from the Tampa Bay Lightning. They take down the Dallas Stars. So, right now, Dallas has one game in hand on the Predators. The Preds have a 2-point lead. Needless to say, this is a huge, huge game for the Predators tomorrow. What sort of a game do you expect in a game with pretty much all the marbles on the line and two teams that really don't like each other heading into this matchup tomorrow against Dallas?
I fully expect a physical game. Not stupid, though, because both coaches will be warning their guys that the penalties can't come into play in this game, especially with us, because if you look over the power plays that Dallas has racked up against us in the seven games that we've played them. I mean, at one time, they'd scored like, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think in the first two games, 7 or 8 power plays they scored against us. So obviously, we want to go toe-to-toe with them physically. We want to match them hit for hit. scrum for scrum in front of their net and on our net, but we've got to stay out of the penalty box. That's going to be paramount. And what we have to have start to do now is, and I watched the game last night when they played Tampa Bay, and to be honest with you, I thought Dallas was the better team last night against them. They just couldn't beat the goaltender. They were all over them, and they were hitting. In the third period, Tampa came alive. But Dallas is a good team, and they're tough. They're strong. We match up with them just about what you expect. We're a 50-50 job on it.
All right, Crispy, you know I love these coaching hat questions with you. So let's put you in that seat with this team right now. It's totally turned things around in terms of how it is played. The results have been there. And then you have a couple games, but especially the last game where really your opponent kind of overwhelms you. First of all, your evaluation of the last game, is it more you credit the Panthers for just being really good and getting the Predators outside themselves, or did you lose something there? How much do you focus on that and correcting things, or is that a game you purely flush and, it's a different matchup and you move forward?
Yeah, you know what? I don't flush it totally down. There's some, I'll tell the guys some, but it was a combination of the Panthers being, and I'm going to be honest with you, that much better that given game than us, that much better. And we were sporadic in that game. Give a little push, then lay back. And we were not at the top of our game at all, at all ends of the ice, both defensively, offensively. And like I said, we showed spurts, but we didn't get to the goals that we wanted to do. Anytime we score four goals and allow seven, there's something wrong, because if we score four goals, usually we win. We usually shut them down, slam the door, and make either an overtime, a shootout, or win by one goal. No, we didn't put the clamps. And I got to admit, the two that we said the game before that when we played them, beat them 4-1, how we held in check Huberdeau and Barkov and the other defense, big defenseman that comes roaring through there. They were on a mission, and that showed us that if you're going to play against these teams and you're going to hit the playoffs, you got to bring your best every night. Every night. It can't just be a hit-and-miss job like we had on that game. But the game before, if I go to it, hey, we played great. It was our game. They didn't give it away to us. We took that 4-1 game. So that tells me we can play, and we're able to do it when we come out and play our game and listen to what the coaches are stressing. And some of the guys, and I'll be honest with you, we talk about passion. Well, if you can't bring passion to this game tomorrow night, Saturday night, then you should hang up your skates.
Yeah, I'm 1,000% with you. Predators TV analyst Terry Crisp on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Crispy, we know tomorrow is a high-stakes game. It's a high-pressure game. There's going to be a bit of a playoff vibe to it. I've been impressed with how the young players that have come in the lineup have handled the moment and have handled some of these high-pressure situations. When you have a game that is as big as tomorrow is, do you say anything as a coach to these young players? Do you just let them go out and do their thing as they've been doing? How do you kind of handle these high-pressure situations with players who have not been in these situations before at the NHL level?
Heck no. Turn them loose. You just said it. We watch what they've done since they've come in here, and I know you're talking about Trennan, you're talking about Olivier, you're talking about Janot, you're talking about Harper, who just come in, and all the guys that are getting a chance at. You're talking about Cunningham, who's just come back off of injuries. Let them go. Turn them loose. They're the ones who have had the energy. They're the ones who have been the engine of this train. Let's be honest about that. And right now, with the remaining part of the schedule, it's the veterans that got to step up here and bring it. And I'm talking about all the veterans. I'm talking about Captain Josi. I'm talking about Ellis. I'm talking about Ekholm. I'm talking about Johansson. I'm talking about Duchesne. And I'm not talking in a bad way. I'm talking in that these guys know what it is, too. So when you're getting the production we're getting from our newbies and our kids, then they have to match that, too, for this game especially. And, again, this is probably, it is one of the biggest. But I'm going to say also this. As a coach, I won't use that phrase, do or die, because I can guarantee you, whichever team loses this game tomorrow night certainly does not consider themselves out of the playoff run. I guarantee you that at both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, that was kind of going to be my question, Crispy. Is it possible to build up one game too much? You know, especially from the Preds' perspective, they've had this time to think about it. I think really important time to rest, but still time to think about it and focus so much on it. Like you said, it's not like this is the last game of the season. There's a lot more to play. Is it possible to overemphasize or overhype yourself for one game?
Yeah, there is. You always want to do that. But Coach Hines is good. He always has used that. He's a level-headed person. And he's made sure that we – and you've heard him use the phrase, you can't get too high and you can't get too low. But I've always maintained that I'd sooner be a little higher than lower. And when I'm jumping on that ice for the warm-ups and looking around and looking at those green jerseys, they were saying, yeah, I have a distinct dislike for them. And tonight, when we meet in the corners, it's going to be an even battle, I'll tell you right now. And we better be because we know Dallas. We've had a history over the years with them with some bloody battles. And I fully expect the same coming into tomorrow's game both ways. But like I said, we can't have ticky-tacky penalties called. And referees are going to call them. We can't have any more high sticky penalties we've been getting at bad times. We've got to stay out of that penalty box. But the hitting, the physicality, yeah. And you can still do it without taking penalties. Watch Cunnan, how he plays, or Cousins, how he plays, or Janot and those guys. They still play physical, but they stay out of the penalty box.
Crispy, last thing for you here, and we'll see what happens on the ice today at practice. The Predators practicing a little bit later this morning at Bridgestone Arena. But I think there's at least a chance that we could see Philip Forsberg. We talked to Todd Richards, Predators assistant coach, the other day and said that they're hopeful he can play. Don't know what's going to happen, but that he's getting close. If Forsberg is able to come back for this game, what sort of a boost could that give this lineup that's been playing well without him? But obviously, I mean, you always want a guy like Philip Forsberg back in the lineup whenever you can get him.
It could be a tremendous boost. The other Dallas, we'd be looking to see. It'd be like if they said Radulov is coming back tonight. We'd say, oh, crap.
Yep.
He's good. He can play. Dynamite, he came in at this time. They'd be saying the same thing about Forsberg. Now, having said it and having it, and this is what you have to guard against, he wouldn't be the Messiah. He will not be the savior. He has not played how long. So if Philip Forsberg, we're lucky enough to get him back into our game, yeah, we could sure use him, whether it be only on the power play or whatever. But don't stand around and wait for Philip Forsberg to wave a magic wand or Philip Forsberg to put the team on his shoulders and carry it. That's not going to happen.
Predators TV analyst Terry Crisp has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Crispy joins us every Friday at 8:30 here on the program. Crispy, great stuff, man. Looking forward to this game tomorrow. It's going to be an awesome one.
Oh, let's fill that building. I've heard our players talking about it. They want the fans in there with them. And we've been through many playoffs and so many big games with our fans here. We know what they can do for our team, for our guys in a game to stand up in that standing ovation. So let's fill that building tomorrow night because, as you mentioned, this is like one of the best playoff games you're going to see.
Absolutely. Terry Crisp, every week here at 8:30 here on Robbie and Rextro. That atmosphere tomorrow in the game is going to be electric. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the Predators looking ahead at this game tomorrow against the Dallas Stars. Does the playoff run come down to this game? We'll talk about that coming up next. Also, have your chance to win a pair of Predators tickets to be in the building tomorrow night as well. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Nashville Predators taking on the Dallas Stars tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena, and that is going to be a massive, massive game. Ryan Porth, we've got a pair of Predators tickets to give away to see the Nashville Predators take on the Dallas Stars at Bridgestone Arena coming up tomorrow. You're going to want to be in the building for this one. As Terry Crisp mentioned in the last segment here, that is going to be as close to a playoff atmosphere as it gets. The building, since the capacity has gone back up to 33%, you've been able to feel it. You've been able to notice it in the games as of late. And I would imagine that game tomorrow on a Saturday night in Nashville, it is going to be electric inside the building. And Ryan Porth has a trivia question for some tickets to give away to see the Predators take on the Stars tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. Ryan Porth, your trivia question for the day, that if you know the answer, send us a text on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025.
Yes, do not call.
Do not call.
This is
Text only.
Text only, 615-737-1025. So earlier this week, Roman Yossi surpassed officially Shea Weber for third all-time in points in Predators history. David Legwand is one. Martin Erat is two. Yossi's three. Shea Weber is four. Who is number five on the Predators' all-time franchise leader in points list?
That is a great question. If you know the answer to that question, who is number five on the list for the Predators on their all-time scoring list, hit us up on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The first person to correctly respond will win a pair of tickets to see the Predators take on the Dallas Stars tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena.
I will say, as someone who doesn't monitor the all-time points list on a daily basis, I was a little surprised by this one.
I am not 100% sure that I know this, so I'm going to be very fascinated to see what this answer is. Joe, I think tomorrow is going to be a pretty awesome environment inside of Bridgestone Arena. You got a game between the Predators and the Stars where you got some help last night. Tampa Bay wins against the Stars, and they get the shutout 3-0 in that game. And right now, the game in hand, that's one of the games that Dallas had last night. So you're one game in hand for the Stars. They're 2 points back. If you can get this win, if you're the Predators, but especially if you can get this win in regulation, you are in good shape as you move forward down the stretch the last week of this regular season coming up.
Yeah. Now, first of all, you know, on the atmosphere, and, you know, Crispy just mentioned fill up the building. Heard a lot of that on the broadcast the other night, which isn't too surprising. It's a few days before the game, but are the seats going to be occupied? Like, are people going to fill the amount of the arena that can be filled?
It'll be filled.
Yeah?
It'll be filled. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Because it seems like there's a push to try to get tickets sold, which would be surprising to me, given that it's, what is it? Is it 33% or 40% now?
I think it's still at 33. I'd have to double check, but I'm pretty sure it's still 33. I'll look at it. Either way,
it's
going to be full.
Yeah. I mean, you would think so. I mean, given the limitations on the seats. And I know, I think it was Steve Lehman the other night, or it was the first game against Florida, I think tweeted it's the loudest he's heard an arena, you know, and obviously a long time, and yeah. There hasn't been a lot of opportunities for that. But you would think it would be pretty live atmosphere. And I think, to me, if the Preds win, Dallas is in a tough spot, man.
Yeah.
Dallas is in a very tough spot. You're talking about still one game in hand, but 4 points back, 5 for Dallas left, 4 for the Preds, and the next 2 for the Preds are against Columbus. So Dallas loses this game in regulation especially. They're on the fringe of being toast. Now, if the Preds lose, then it's going to be a wild last week. You know, you're talking about even up, game in hand for Dallas. Still a tougher schedule for Dallas. The Preds would win a tiebreaker. So, I believe, right? The Preds, at this point, no matter what happens Saturday, would win the tiebreaker, correct?
Yes.
So, it's, you know, the Preds, obviously, in a better position. They got a chance to really put themselves on the doorstep. And even to me, if the Preds, like, let's say the Preds lose in overtime or a shootout and get a point, wouldn't be the end of the world.
It would not. Our friends at MoneyPuck.com, which I know, Joe Rexrode, you're just a huge fan of the people at MoneyPuck.com. The Predators right now a 68.6% chance to get in the playoffs. Dallas at 30.7%. So if you win that game in regulation, if you're the Predators, I mean, I'd have to think that percentage goes up to like 80% to get in there.
Do we have a magicmoneypuck.org projection? Like, do they give you, like, if this happens, it becomes this?
I've not seen it.
Do they give you hypotheticals?
I see no hypotheticals in front of me right now, so they've got to do some work on that.
But if Dallas wins, it's probably pretty close to 50-50, right?
Yeah, I would think so. And, look, if you're Dallas next week, you go from the Predators on Saturday to then one game against Florida, 2 more games against Tampa Bay. So it's not getting any easier for the Stars coming up. You've got 2 more against Chicago coming up after that. Ryan Porth is losing his mind in the other studio in here. I don't know what's going on. But you have Florida and then 2 more against Tampa Bay. So if you're the Predators, you win this game, and then all of a sudden you look at your schedule, you've got two against Columbus, and then obviously the two big ones against Carolina to end the season at home. Right now, I mean, those two games against Columbus, if you're the Predators, you got to win those games, and if you do that, coupled with a win on Saturday against Dallas, you got a good chance of being in pretty good shape heading into those Carolina games.
Right. You may not need both of them.
Yeah.
I mean, you may be just fine, because if you do need them, and if Carolina needs them, and it's certainly worth getting the one, then, I mean, that's not an ideal situation. I mean, considering the Preds have not figured out a way to beat Carolina yet this year. I mean, Carolina's sitting there with a 2-point lead and two games in hand on Florida, but, you know, 3-point lead on Tampa Bay, and they've both played 50. They both have six left. So probably one of those two, Carolina or Tampa Bay, getting the one, and it might go all the way down to the wire. I guess the Preds would love for it to be wrapped up before they see Carolina. But take care of your business Saturday, and you might be done.
I covered a mighty contest last night between the Florida Panthers and the Chicago Blackhawks. Panthers get it done in overtime after Chicago ties it with 17.6 seconds remaining. And you could just kind of hear the defeat in the voices of the Blackhawks last night in their postgame press conferences. Only a 0.7% chance now for the Blackhawks to make the playoffs. So they're done. They're absolutely done right now.
That's too bad. And I'm sure you were excited to get some extra hockey.
Yeah, it was great. You know, between the Aaron Rodgers stuff yesterday and then Chicago tying the game with 17 seconds left while I'm trying to watch the NFL draft, it was a great time yesterday for me last night. Love that. Ryan Porth, what are you laughing at? What's going on in there? Do we have any winners yet for the tickets?
There are some great autocorrects
in
the text line right now. So the trivia question was basically, Yossi surpassed Weber for third all-time in points.
Yep.
Who was fifth all-time or is fifth all-time? It's Philip Forsberg.
Yes.
And Brandon on our text line got it correct. So congrats, Brandon. You are going to the game tomorrow night. But the autocorrect text messages have got me rolling in here. There have been some Ford Bergs. There have been some Filipino Forsbergs.
Yes, there have been
there have been some misspellings of Forsberg or Philip. There was an F squared.
I like that.
And the one that got me rolling was Fordberg, and then the same person texted Forster, and then they said, "Damn it, I quit."
Just gave up. We get it. The struggle against autocorrect is real.
And then the other autocorrect that I loved was Chemo Tim Omen.
Tim Omen.
Yeah. Tim Omen, man.
Any votes for Dan Hamweis in there?
No, but no. There was a Jordan Tutu.
Okay.
Or Toho Toho.
Yes. Toho Toho.
Twa-twa.
Twa-twa, as Chase McCabe would
Jordan
say.
Twa-twa.
Jordan Twa-twa. Yeah, I mean, it's
fan favorite.
I was wondering if Forsberg was there yet. I thought maybe a guy like Steve Sullivan.
There
maybe.
Were a lot of correct Forsberg responses, so I'm impressed.
That's impressive. Well done to our listeners, and you made Ryan Porth's day with some of the autocorrects that took place there. Joe, if they could get Forsberg back tomorrow, and they're practicing today, so we'll see whether or not he's on the ice today. I don't know if he's going to be on the ice. I don't know if he's going to play tomorrow, but if they can get him back, that would be a massive boost for this team heading into the most important game of the year.
No doubt about it. And it doesn't look like it's going to be some Forsberg-Sagan reunion here.
It does not.
Saad Youssef, who he's writing in a thing. He and Vinga did something today, kind of going back and forth. But he sounds like Sagan is they're hopeful for next week now. So if the Preds don't have to see him, they do get Forsberg back, there's another edge for them. And like we talked about yesterday, I just feel like, Forsberg is probably going to do everything he can to get ready. I mean, is it too much of a gamble? This is a huge game, but obviously you want to make the playoffs, have him all good before he comes back. But, you think about what a boost that would be, and especially the power play. It's gotten better with Tolvanen back in. had a couple, looked really good a couple times, but obviously you get Forsberg and Tolvanen back in that thing, and it was really starting to look like something before those guys got hurt.
102.5 The Game and T-Mobile have teamed up to give away a hockey home gating party. Text the word goalie to 615-737-1025. That's goalie to 615-737-1025. Now to enter for a chance to win a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. You must be 21 or older to enter. When we come back, we'll get back into the Titans, back into the NFL draft. What do the Titans do from here? Now that Caleb Farley is off the board, could they get a pass rusher at number 53? We'll talk about that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.